Allah Ta'ala speaks about khamr.
Ma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa man ya'shu 'an dhikrir rahmani nuqayyid lahu shaytanan fa huwa lahu qarin. Sadaqallahu al-azim. My dear respected elders and brothers, I was faced with the option of speaking on two topics for today's Jummah talk. One was to highlight the beginning of the new year, which today being the first of Muharram, and also speak about the importance, the relevance, the blessedness of the month of Muharram in general, and the day of Ashura in particular. And of course, another phenomena at this time of the year is this aspect of people getting involved and getting carried away by the atmosphere and environment of what is known as the festive season. And I felt I'll speak on the second topic, and inshallah, the aspect about Muharram we will speak in the coming days and perhaps also next week, Jummah. We are in this time of the year where it is, as it is known, it is a time which normally people call the festive season, the holiday period. Now this has an impact upon our way of thinking, our attitude, where people don't like to get involved in serious things. Have you ever wondered and seen how many times people bring good ideas that let us do something, and by and large you will find people reacting and responding, we will think about it next year. But if something is important, something is of relevance, by and large, even at this stage, you tell anyone something serious, inshallah, next year we will see about it. Now this is an attitude that comes about which has its own challenge. And also it creates a sense of lethargy and a sense of freeness, being free. And this in itself brings about various challenges that we have to contend with, that we don't become complacent because of the environment. And shaitan is always looking for a way for people to be neglectful of Allah. And this type of attitude, this type of environment, this type of response can lead to us being indifferent to Allah and shaitan seizing the opportunity to make us do things that normally we would not do in other times of the year. Firstly, let us always keep in mind that Islam is not opposed to the idea of some form of relaxation, of some form of recreation. Islam recognizes that you and I are human beings which have normal needs, and part of that need is sometimes to be able to have some time of recreation, some form of relaxation. Islam does not in any way suggest that every speech of ours, everything that emanates from our mouth will only be zikr of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it is ideal that the more zikr of Almighty Allah we do, the more time we should spend in zikr of Almighty Allah. But Allah Ta'ala recognizes we are human beings. Not every utterance of ours is only going to be zikr of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala recognizes that not every aspect of silence in our life is going to be in muraqabah, is going to be in meditation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also recognizes that not every free moment of our life is going to be spent in the masjid, although that would be the ideal. However, recreation and relaxation should never be the objective in itself. We are never beings that our whole life is only relaxation. We are never human beings that, especially as believers, that our whole life is only to enjoy ourselves. Allah Ta'ala has given us an objective in life. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, we have created jinnat and insan, but to worship Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even our forms of relaxation and recreation should be with the intention of strengthening our resolves, strengthening our resolve in completing and fulfilling the objective for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Therefore, in Jami' al-Tirmidhi, there is a statement attributed to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he said that I entertain my mind with something trivial from time to time with the intention of strengthening it in the service of the Deen of Almighty Allah. Look at how beautifully he said, I entertain my mind with something trivial, something light-hearted, but the intention is to make me more serious and in completing the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala had said, minds get tired the way bodies get tired. And when your body gets tired, you go into relaxation, you go and rest. So when the minds get tired, how do you relax it? By entertaining it with something trivial, something light-hearted. But that does not become the objective. Sleep is not our objective. We go to sleep with the intention of freshening up so that we can face the challenges of the next day. Similarly, with regard to relaxation and recreation, that is not the objective. The objective is that we can come back to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill our objective in a better way. And of course, another aspect is that we always got to realize there is no holiday for death. And there is no holiday for the preparation of death. There is a beautiful conversation that Nabi Kareem s.a.w. one day had with Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, O Mu'adh, how did you spend your morning and what was the state of your iman this morning? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah, this morning my iman was with salamiyat, with salamat. My iman was with peace. And my iman was, Alhamdulillah, in a proper state. You see, from time to time, you and I, we can only ask one another with regard to physical well-being. How are you? How is the family? How is the business? Very seldom, if ever, do we ask one another, what is the state of your iman? How have you been able to fulfill the commands of Allah? Did you perform Salatul Fajr this morning? Nabi Kareem s.a.w. asked the Sahaba from time to time, what was the state of your iman this morning? So he said, Alhamdulillah, my state of iman was good. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. said, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةٍ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ قَوْلِكَ. O Mu'az, every statement has a reality. What is the reality of your statement? By saying your iman was correct, and your iman was at peace, and your iman was correct. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, the reality of this situation and this statement that I've said was, that when I'm in the morning, I don't expect to be alive in the night. And when am I at night, I don't expect to be alive the next morning. When I take one step, I'm not sure whether I'm going to take the next step or not. And I feel as if the akhirat is in front of me. Subhanallah, look at what he said. Nabi SAW said, O Mu'adh, what is the reality of your statement that your iman was correct? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm in the morning, I don't expect to be alive in the evening. When I'm in the evening, I don't expect to be alive the next morning. And when I take one step, I'm not sure whether I'm going to take the next step or not. Nabi Kareem SAW said, O Mu'adh, you have the reality of iman. So this is a reality. In this situation, we should never, there is no holiday for death. And no holiday for the preparation of death. That should be at with us at all times, whether we go for recreation, whether we go for a week somewhere or not. That reality and that preparation should be with us at all the time. You see, I have read an ayat in the beginning of the talk, in the khutbah, in the introduction. It is worthy of us thinking about this ayat. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّذْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Whoever becomes indifferent from remembering Allah, shaitan becomes his companion. Any time of your life, when you are indifferent to Allah, shaitan attaches himself to you. Which also means, the moment you are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan goes back. The word khannas, where Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, where Allah Ta'ala says, you seek Allah's protection from shaitan, khannas. The word khannas means the one who attacks and then he withdraws. The ulama say, the meaning of this word khannas means, the moment you remember Allah, he withdraws. And the moment you forget Allah, he attacks you. So Allah Ta'ala says, the moment you are indifferent to Allah, shaitan attaches himself to you as your companion. So don't allow that situation to happen, whether you are in holiday or outside holiday, that you're indifferent to Allah. So shaitan takes it as an opportunity to attack you and make you oblivious of Allah. And keep in mind, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forget Allah. And the one who forgets Allah forgets his own self. So this is very important for us to realize. We can never remain indifferent to Allah, irrespective of the time, irrespective of the environment, irrespective of where we are, irrespective of whether we are in a serious mode or in a holiday mood, whether we are in a serious mode or in a carefree mode. Another important aspect which is of great concern is with regard to our youngsters during this time of the year. Brothers, each and everyone realizes that is a time where people are generally inactive, especially with regard to our young people. And the way it is said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. And the moment when a child becomes inactive, then all different types of temptation, different types of fitna, different types of things that he's not supposed to get involved in, sometimes he gets involved in. Therefore, it is of great concern and great importance that parents see that their children are occupied with something that is beneficial, and they don't get involved in something that could lead to very great and serious repercussions later on in their life. Of course, it would have been so nice. It would have been so beneficial. It would have been so positive if the community arranges activities to keep the young people active during this time of the year. But unfortunately, we as a community, we don't have forward planning, we don't keep these things in mind, and we don't do things collectively. And this, there's a crying need for people to take up this opportunity to be able to get the young people involved in something that is beneficial, to keep them away from something that can be destructive for them in the near future, in the short term, or in the long term. There's a crying need for people to do that. Alhamdulillah, the Jamaat brothers do such a sterling work in taking out young people during this time of the year and making them occupied in something which is beneficial for them and also fulfillment of their objective. But much more needs to be done. What is of great concern, my dear respected brothers, is the wasting of time. Today, people just waste time in a way that is greatly, you know, very, very worrying. You know, the Urdu poet had said, Subah hui, sham hui, umar yuhi tamam hui. That is our reality today. We spend the morning, we spend the evening, and our whole life is going by. And yet, we do not do anything that is beneficial. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala used to say that every day where I have not done something that brings me even more closer to Allah than the previous day, I have a regret with regard to that day. That day has gone to waste. Brothers, we are spending years on and we have find no benefit and we have find no greater connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than what was done previously. And we don't feel no regret, we don't feel any remorse, and we don't feel anything wrong with regard to it. Hazrat Hasan Basri radiallahu ta'ala says that I found the Sahaba. Just look at the statement. Hasan Basri radiallahu ta'ala says, I found the Sahaba more possessive about their time than their own wealth. How we look after our wealth? He said the Sahaba used to look after their time even more assiduously and even more seriously than the way they used to look after their wealth. If we can look after our time the way we look after our wealth, we will go far in terms of spirituality. And just to show you this, Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, a very famous author in our history, he said, I wrote my first book at the age of 13. His grandson says, towards the end of his life, one day Allama Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh was on the mimbar, and in the mimbar he told people, he said, as a thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this hand I have written 200 volumes of books. With this hand I have written 200 volumes of my books, and no printing, writing it myself. This wasting of time within us, and more importantly with regard to our young people, is of great concern. And of course, to bring it also to them is such a great challenge, because they don't realize that they are doing anything wrong or that they need to do something that is productive. But we need to be telling them with regard to this. Another aspect that is of great concern, when an idle mind is a devil's workshop, when people are idle, then they get into many things that are destructive and are negative. And one of the things that people have to keep in mind is this aspect and the scourge of people going onto drugs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. We know with regard to the addiction of drugs, it is a serious matter in our community. Previously, we could perhaps say that it is happening in other communities. Alhamdulillah, our community is not happening that much. Now the reality, even in our young boys, in our young girls, it is becoming a reality. And we have to be worried with regard to it, because when people become idle, they go into things that are negative. Now, one is with regard to the Shari point of view. Anything that is addictive, anything that befogs the mind, it is haram. Allah Ta'ala speaks about khamar in the Holy Quran, and in which normally we translate into, you know, wine or in, you know, beer or those type of things. But that is not the correct translation with regard to khamar. The word khamar is al-khamru ma yukhamiru al-aql. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu one day stood on the minbar of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Al khamru ma yukhamiru al aql." That khamr is that which befogs the mind, which clouds the intellect. Anything that clouds and befogs the mind is part of khamr. It is haram. Whether it be in the form of wine, whether it be in the form of beer, whether it be in the form of liquid, whether it be in the form of Mandrax tablets, whether it be in the form of heroin, whether it be in the form of cocaine. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given great emphasis upon some things. And one of the great emphasis Allah ta'ala has given is the intellect of humankind, which distinguishes him from an animal. One of the distinguishing factors between a human being and an animal is his intellect. And when a person takes to alcohol, when a person takes to drugs, my dear respected brothers, he is taking away this distinguishing factor between him and animals. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah ta'ala's great favor upon us that he has made this haram. When you see a person who is drunk, I recently met someone and he was telling me that he was with judges. And he said, people who have this intellect, at the end of the year party, he said, you should see them when they are drunk. People who are supposed to be people of intellect, but yet when they are drunk, people have to carry them away from the parties. And you say, oh Allah, thank you to Allah that you have given us that deen, which makes things haram, which where we become like animals and even worse than that. And similarly is the situation with regard to a person who takes the drugs, who becomes addicted to it, and when he becomes addicted to it, he forgets his surroundings, he forgets his own benefit, he becomes a liability and burden upon himself and upon his family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never let it happen to even to any one of us. We normally use this particular statement as a phrase that may it not even happen to our enemy. Now normally we are not supposed to cultivate and have enemies. Hazrat Luqman radiallahu ta'ala, one beautiful statement he said, one day when he said, have hundreds of friends, and even hundreds of friends are not sufficient. He said, have hundreds of friends, keep good ta'alluq and relationship with everyone. Have hundreds of friends, and even hundreds of friends are not sufficient. And he said, don't have even one enemy, and even one enemy is too much. He said, don't even have one enemy, even one enemy is too much for you. But normally we say in a phrase that this particular situation of someone's child or someone's children must be addicted to drugs must not even happen to someone whom we regard as our enemy. Because this becomes a great trial upon that individual and upon that family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. One of the things that is of concern is, despite great awareness of this, more than ever before, I can't recall when we were young that people had such great amount of awareness with regard to addiction of drugs or with regard to the harms of drugs the way they is today. Despite the fact that there is greater awareness, it is more rife than what it was previously. And part of this reason is that people are only looking at the symptoms, they are not looking at the root causes. Now of course this is a situation and this is a topic that needs a lecture on its own. But as I'm bringing it under the context of holidays and what youngsters can get involved in, very briefly let me make mention of two things in this regard. Brothers, we have this whole, you know, maybe I should call it a beast. The beast of enjoyment and the beast of fulfilling our desires. Today that has become a religion on its own. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen this? Those people who have made the fulfillment of their desires their Lord. You know, we have become so much into this whole situation. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. And we bring this particular type of situations in our talks with our family. The thing that you got to ask yourself, what is the end point of enjoyment? Is there any end point of enjoyment? Once you make the monster's mind into, you have to enjoy yourself, then where does it stop? When he stops with one form of entertainment, he's looking for another form of entertainment. When he's finished with that, he's looking for another form of entertainment. And when that becomes the mindset and the attitude, it is not surprising when someone has to tell him, if you have to take drugs, you're going to go on a high. You're going to enjoy yourself. He's going to run for that. We have to create within our youngsters this aspect of enjoyment in ibadat. Enjoyment in turning towards Almighty Allah. Not only in the pursuits of the desires of the flesh. And until we don't do that, then we are making our youngsters vulnerable to go under that which is enjoyment. And the moment they go into enjoyment, well, that's also part of enjoyment. Let me enjoy myself. The second thing, my dear respected brothers, in this regard is peer pressure. Peer pressure is a tremendous pressure. It is not only works upon our youngsters, it also has an impact upon old people. We all worry with regard to what our friends are going to say about us. We all worry what the community is going to say about us. It's a natural reaction. And to a youngster who is growing up, who has tremendous physical and psychological and emotional changes, he doesn't want to be seen as an outcast amongst his friends. Just to give you an example, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his uncle, Abu Talib, "Oh my uncle, accept Islam. Say the kalima one time in my ear, I will intercede on behalf of you on the day of Qiyamah. I will intercede before you on the day of Qiyamah. I will tell Allah, my uncle read the kalima once in my ear. I will intercede before you and I will see to you that you go into Jannah." What did Abu Talib said? Abu Talib said, "If I'm going to bring Iman now, what are the community going to say? Look at all my friends who are here. What are they going to say? They're going to say that Abu Talib, for the sake and for the fear of his nephew's Jahannam, for the fear of his nephew's Jahannam, he forsake the religion of his forefather." This is peer pressure. Never mind youngsters. Even an elderly and matured person like Abu Talib was worried what his friends are going to say. So this peer pressure makes it very important for us to see that our youngsters are in the right company. And the ideal thing with regard to this, and I will conclude with this, although it is such an important topic, is, my dear respected brothers, that the parents must play a role. Where there is a loving environment in the home, then I'm not saying it will never happen, then it is less likely that children will get involved in negative attributes. It can still happen. But therefore, we need to try to cultivate the right type of environment. We as parents are supposed to be friends. I'm not saying it in that way. Perhaps the right word should have been that we are supposed to be, you know, really guardians and custodians. But in the environment that we are living in, the parents should be the first port of call for our young children. That relationship should be there. And this we learn from the Quran. We learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's let her give you the example and conclude with us. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told unto his son, "Ya bunayya inni ara fil manam." "Oh my son, I'm seeing in a dream, I am slaughtering you. Give me your opinion." The fact that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam could speak to his son in that manner tells you that there was some form of interaction. There was some form of communication. If there was no form of communication, he would not have been able to address his son that way. So therefore, we need to have that type of communication. So inshallah, that type of communication might save our children from taking ways which are negative to their own detriment, to the detriment of the community, to the detriment of the society, and of course, being against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.